Good morning. Please be seated. Hi, Jim. How you doing? Where's my mascot? He's sick. Oh. Good morning, everyone. My name is Father Bob DeShays. I was the former rector of this parish, and I was served this parish for 20 years. And during that process, we built this new church and had acquired a mortgage and went through the whole process of a new church building. I want to thank Father Albert for giving me the privilege of preaching here this morning. Thank you, Albert, for that privilege. I must admit, I'm a little nervous today. I don't know why. You know me, most of you, that I'm not the nervous kind of guy. I just get up here and preach like, you know, there's no tomorrow. And I will today, too. Don't burn the church down. But even my wife came to make sure I do a good job. When I asked God, what am I going to speak on when we'd have the ceremony for the burning of the mortgage? And I thought to myself, I'm going to talk about our accomplishments, what this parish was able to accomplish in building this beautiful edifice and paying down a mortgage. But God said, no. I want you to talk about what I have done for this parish, not what you did. Because my grace precedes everything, and I provide for everything. God provides. And that's what I want to talk about. I know you will love this. God provides for his people. And he sends angels. Now, when you think of an angel, what do you think of? Hello? Good morning. What do you think when you think of an angel? You think of a being with wings, right? But angels are people that God uses as messengers, puts his spirit in their heart, and gives them a strong sense of doing or accomplishing his will. So their angels are not only beings in heaven, but angels are people that God sends to carry out his purpose and his will on earth. So when I talk about angels today, it's with that understanding. I took notes because I was so nervous about this. When I was a priest in my second parish, which was 1982, at Assumption Parish in Millbury, Mass., I had a very saintly pastor. His name was Monsignor Robert Roberts. And he told me a story that will never leave me, and it changed my whole outlook on God who provides. The church had a rectory, a church, a school, and a convent. It was a big complex. There was a lot of bills to pay, and he told me that one month he didn't have the money to pay the bills. He was short $10,000. And he was very, very agitated about this debt, these bills that he hadn't paid. And he prayed real hard that God would somehow bring that money to him. So he went in his office and he knelt at his desk in desperation because he tried all he could to get the money out of the pockets of his people, you know, but pulling those dollar bills out of people's pockets is really hard. And so he was desperate. So he went in his office and he knelt at his desk and he said, God, please help, help us. The next day, a man came, rang the doorbell, and handed Father a paper bag. It was an anonymous person. Father didn't know this man. Handed Father the bag. He went in his office, opened the bag, and it was filled with money. Guess how much money was in the bag? $10,000. And he looked at me and he said, "Never, never doubt and always trust that God provides. As a priest, you must stand on that trust for the rest of your life. He will provide." After that lesson, I have never worried about money. You could even ask my wife. I feel that no matter what happens, God will provide. When I came here in 1995, there was an angel in the parish. His name was Steve Vance. And he had this burning desire to build a new church. Not everyone agreed with him because they saw that as almost an impossible task, but he had this burning desire and moved ahead with the vestry who approved it at the time to move forward. He acquired some people to come up with drawings, which they didn't do, but anyway. And asked me if we could start the new church as soon as possible. The vestry called me because I had two skills. I had a lot of experience in building as a project manager for a construction company. And I had also been a professional development officer, a fundraiser for different organizations, for Food for the Poor, and for an organization that serves the Deaf Center up in West Palm Beach. So I figured that's why they called me. And as soon as I got here, I figured we'd start construction right away. But as a development officer, I knew that the most important part of a campaign is to have a feasibility study. So I called in Holloman and Associates, who did a lot of feasibility studies for Episcopal churches, to come in and to do a study of our church and to see if we were ready to enter into a capital campaign. So they came in and they said, "No, you're not ready for a capital campaign." Well, my angel, Steve Vance, was a little upset with that. And I felt a little deflated by that decision. But I learned from that it's God's timing that's important, not ours. See, our timing was to do it right then and there. And that's how we usually are. We ask God for something, we expect it right now, right then and there. But God said to us, "No, wait 3 years." So we waited 3 years and prayed during that whole time. And then we had our first kickoff dinner at the Signature Grand Hotel. Not the hotel, but it's a big complex. And it was a free dinner, so of course everybody came. And we presented the idea of building a new church and kicking off a campaign. And we estimated the cost of building the church at $1.6 million. $1.8 million. And that was a stretch for this parish. And we started asking for pledges. That year we collected 1 million in pledges, and it was for a 3-year campaign. So we just had 1 million, so we were short 800,000. And then the architects and the engineers got together and actually came up not with, you know, an estimated cost, but a realistic cost. And guess what that ended up being? $2.25 million. Over budget by over $600,000. And that did not include the pews, the stained glass windows, or the organ. Why did it go so high? From 1.8 to 2.25. Well, when they looked at the old church, when we decided to connect the two buildings, then the city said you have to bring the old church up to code. And they looked at the foundations and found that the old church was built on wooden stakes. Because the old church was built when Plantation, this part of Plantation was a swamp. So they had to put these, what do you call it, pilings, wooden pilings into the swamp and then build a church on top of these pilings. So the city came in and says, no, you have to put concrete footers all the way around the church, put up brand new walls, concrete walls that are hurricane resistant compared to the windows we had all over the place. And then they said, we wanted this church to seat 500. The city said, no, you can only build a building for 400. And I said, why? He said, because the number of your occupancy is dependent on your parking spaces. And since you only have 103 parking spaces, you can only build for 400 people. So, and then the city was pretty strong about, you know, this is Tree City, USA. So it was pretty strong about the landscaping we were putting in. So by the time all was said and done, it was $2.25 million. Then God, where are we going to get a mortgage for $1.25 million? Of course, God sent another angel to the parish who came over from Atonement, and then he became the senior warden during building, and he just happened to be the manager of SunTrust Bank. Now, see how God plants people where they are needed at the right time. He provides. We went to Nations Bank with whom we did all our banking, and they said, what are you, absolutely nuts? We can't give you a loan for 1.25. Well, what are we going to do? Winston said, have no fear, God will provide. And he did provide through SunTrust Bank. Not only that, but the windows. What about the windows? Then another angel came by. His name was Don Mathis. And he was able to find a church down in Miami that was being razed, being torn down, and they had all these beautiful windows, and they were almost going to give them away. We got them for $30,000. There were so many of them that we sold half of them, and it cost us nothing. And then he went to Princeton and found this organ over there, and the pipes, there's 3,000 pipes behind those screens, by the way. 3,000. He went to Princeton, purchased that organ, I think, for $25,000. It's a $1 million organ. And God sent another angel, and his name was Captain Bailey. And And he paid for the complete restoration of the organ. Completely. So those were costs we didn't. Now, the pews, nobody. Well, we figured we sell the pews as memorials over the years, which we did. So we were able to finish the church in God's time. But as we were going through this process, fear gripped the hearts of many of our parishioners. There was the fear, how are we going to pay down a mortgage of $1.25 million? We're not that big. And the bank told us our monthly payments would be $12,000 a month at $144,000 a year. And so they had town meetings to try to get the vestry and me to reverse our minds about building this new church and taking on such a big debt. And fearful that we would never be able to finish what we would start. And that it would place too much of a burden on the entire parish. But God gave me a good vestry. They were a bunch of angels in that vestry at that time and continually voted to move ahead with the project and to secure the loan and to move on. Praise God. So we did. God worked through our vestry. And then he sent me some other angels. Bill Marks. He was our treasurer. And he, you know, him and Donna Curley. She's not here today. She just had surgery. I wanted her to come. But she made sure that everything balanced out to the penny. If she was one penny short, she'd go home and cry all night. And she was in charge of doing all the taking care of the invoices while construction was going on, etc. Bill was in charge of overseeing the finances along with the finance committee, which included Winston. And God provided during that time. Many times I had to tell Bill, he'd say, we're really short. How are we going to pay you? I said, you got to pay me first. The bills go second. I wasn't crazy. I had been in construction, you know. I knew the language. So I would keep reminding him, God will provide. Amen. And when we got, and Sharon was in the office during all of this construction, and she ran the parish at the time because I was always on the field over here with Steve Vance, checking out, making sure the guys did their job, the guys and the ladies did their jobs properly, which was a challenge. And then we got another angel, Wilhelm Lord, who passed away. Wilhelm was tough. Oh, was he tough. I had to remind him, God will provide every single day. And he would drive Donna nuts, and she would be going home crying. I said, God will provide. Trust in him. Wilhelm said, everything that's raised in this parish has to go into the building fund. Any event. A percentage has to go into the building fund. So what happened is we were going through the process of paying down the mortgage. A lot of people became inward-looking, navel-gazing. The purpose of the church is to serve the world, not to serve ourselves. God didn't choose you to make you feel good. God has chosen everyone in this church to go out and make this a better world. That's the purpose of Christianity. God sent an angel because I saw there was a problem going on in the parish in terms of paying down this heavy mortgage. He sent us Father John Nyanya, a priest from Kenya. And he calls, and he He calls me on the phone out of the blue. I was alone here as rector going through this whole building process. He goes, Fatabab. Fatabab. I look for a job in Southeast Florida. Can I meet with... I said, you speak English? He said, I'm Anglican. I said, oh boy, people are going to have a little trouble understanding his sermons, you know. But he came and gave, and he had a heart for mission. He was an angel from God, and he reminded the congregation of our mission and our work to reach out to the world to make this a better world, and that the impossible is possible with faith. He gave us that sense of vision, and so we're going through a process of paying down this heavy mortgage, and what happens? We started building an orphanage, a dormitory in Kenya. And then we started building an orphanage in Haiti. Tom Brutel was going to seminary. We helped him get through seminary financially. Even though we had this big mortgage, we were doing... And then we started a program of a mission a month where we would help a mission every single month. We supported the ministry at the port, homeless programs, feeding programs, national programs and international programs every month. And yet here we had this big mortgage. But what happens when God puts it in your heart to give? What happens? The more you give, the more you get. But who puts fear into our heart? If God puts into our hearts the grace of trust, then who seeds our hearts with fear? The evil one. Fear is a debilitating thing. When you become afraid, a fearful, you can no longer see anything but the problem in front of you. Think about that. Jesus said, ask, you shall receive. Seek, ye shall find. Knock, it shall be opened to you. But people who are filled with fear don't even ask. They don't believe that God will answer, that he will provide. They don't believe that God does provide. Because most of the time we ask God for what we want, not what we need. And God as a good father gives us what we need, not what we always want. Do you give your children everything they want? You'd be nuts to do so. So that's how God is with us. Fear takes away trust, and it closes our eyes to the opportunities, the doors that we need to knock at, and the paths we need to search out. You see, and fear disables our trust. It erodes trust. That's why Jesus said, what is needed is not fear, but what is needed is trust. And he gives us the example today of the father who gives his son good things. He said, ask your father. He will give you the Holy Spirit. And that's more important than money. What makes you happy? Having lots of money? Yeah? Well, you're not bringing it to heaven with you. I'll tell you that. I've never seen a U-Haul behind the casket. What lasts in your life? Tell me what lasts. What is it that lasts forever? The greatest of these is... Our presiding bishop at the wedding, that was his whole sermon. Let's set the world on fire with love. Love is what changes the world. And God places that love in our heart, and he gives us the capability of going out and changing the world. But it's by his grace that we do that. It's not about us. It's about him. And his hand has been in this project from the very beginning. And then another angel, I saw another angel. I went to the cathedral, and they were bringing Father Albert into the Episcopal Church. I saw Albert, and then they had all the former Roman priests behind him, and it was a press conference and all that kind of thing. The minute I met him, I said, God put a spark in my heart. You know, he said, this is going to be the next rector of St. Benedict's. I just knew it right then and there. He's not perfect, but and there's a big but. But he's a good priest, he's a great preacher, and he can raise money like no one else. When he was with Radio Paz, he was raising $5 million a year to keep that going. And he was also on TV down in Honduras for Telemundo to preach the gospel on TV and on the radio as a Roman Catholic priest. And now he's doing it as an Episcopal priest. But what's the difference? It's the same God in all churches, and we got to stop worrying about denominations and start becoming one as Christians throughout the world. As believers in God, not only Christians, but all believers in God, including Jews and Muslims. We're a family, a global family, and we have to be so. But then Albert got an angel, another angel. I'll tell you, there have been so many angels, because he said, I'm going to pay down this mortgage. I don't know how it's going to happen, but he just said some prayers, I think. Or he was texting God on his phone. He's doing that right now. We all know that, don't we? So he texted God, and God said, I'm sending you an angel. And the angel gave him the full amount, $310,000, to pay down the mortgage. See, he's good. So I'm like, who is the angel? I want to know. I was rector here a long time, and I never got a $300,000 gift. Who was this? Anonymous. I'm not telling you. Well, I said, I want to know because I want to hit him up also. But the final point, or the miracle, was this. Back in 2004, when we took on that mortgage, thanks to Winston, at that price, at $12,000 a month, then we had to refinance it a few years later after the recession in the mid-2000s. So we went and had that mortgage refinanced so that the parish debt would be less, you know, the payments, the monthly payments would be smaller. We got it down to less than $8,000. This is right before Father Albert was coming, and I didn't want him to be burdened with a big, heavy monthly payment. So we got the debt down thanks to the angels at the time. But that meant we had to extend the mortgage from 218 to 224. Okay? It was a 10-year extension. And I said, that's fine. That'll work out. But I had promised the community we would pay it off in 218. So I went to the vestry and told them, and they said, they approved the, you know, moving forward and extending the mortgage. But look how good God is, how he provides. The mortgage started in 2004, it's 218. How many years is that? Count. 14 years. But it was paid off 2 months ago or a month ago, so it was less than 14 years. God is good. You know me, I can go on for hours, but I'm going to sum up with this. What have you learned as I shared this story? What have you learned? God provides. What does fear do to you? It erodes your trust in God. And then you begin to put your trust in money. And that is not good. Because even on the dollar bill, what does it say? In God we trust. How much of us really trust God with our finances? How many couples fight over money more than anything else? Be honest. Be honest. We often put our trust in money more than we put in God. We often don't believe that God will provide. So we don't ask, we don't seek, and we don't knock. And we don't give. We stop giving because we're afraid we're going to run out of money. When that happens, we lose. I hope you got from this message today is to put more trust in God in regards to your finances. To invite Jesus Christ into your budgets, into your finances. And God will provide more than you need so that you can even help others more. Instead of just taking care of yourself, which is basically a selfish thing. And when you pray the Lord's Prayer, which was part of the reading today, wasn't it? It didn't say, give me my monthly bread. What did it say?
Daily.
Give me my daily bread. Now, some of us would like to say, give me my yearly bread. Because that's what we do with our money. We pile up our money for fear that we won't have enough when we retire. Deborah and I found out, we were worried, you know, she was anyway. When I said, I'm retiring at 66, how can you do that? You should stay on till 72. What, do you want me to die? I wasn't worried about our finances. And God has blessed us. We have more now than we ever had when I was working full time. God provides. And he favors his children and blesses them. Give us this day our daily bread. But I want to remind you one other thing. Who is the daily bread? Remember the scriptures. What did Jesus say? I am the bread of life. I am. So when we say, give us this day our daily bread, we're really asking Jesus to come into our lives. I'm sure that gives you a whole different sense of the Lord's Prayer, doesn't it? Give us our daily bread. Give me your Holy Spirit, Jesus. become part of my life, become part of my finances. And throw the devil out of my house. Because we're going to be okay. And I'm not talking about throwing your husband out of the house. Some people, when I say throw the devil out of your house, they want to throw the spouse out. No, because God unites people in love. Money separates people in fear. So invite Jesus into your lives. And as we burn the mortgage, we're going to sing a song. And it's one of the greatest songs in the church. You know how it goes? The church's firm foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. Praise God. God is good.